Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Jesus shall reign where'er the sun does his successive journeys run, his kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. Reading from Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, the letter to the church at Philadelphia. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's give thanks for this and pray that we will be able to do what Paul said he did. He said, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. It is the Lord Jesus that is telling John to write this letter. He who introduced himself here as these things saith, he that is holy, that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. Truly, the sovereign Lord Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords, that's come before the Father through him. Our Father, we give thanks that we can come to thee through him who is the door, who is the way, who is the truth, and who is alone the life. Thou hast said, Lord Jesus, except we eat of thy body and drink of thy blood, we have no life in us. Also telling us that if we do eat of that body by faith and drink of that blood, which was said, it was 1900 and some years ago, that we can have life in thy name and life from thee. And we give thanks that, Father, thou hast given him a name which is above every name, that at his name every knee shall bow, some in grace and some in judgment. We pray, Father, that we might be in that number of those in grace, that number that hear thy voice today, that we will not be left to harden our hearts for another day. We pray, Father, that thou wilt forgive us when we have hardened our hearts, and show us and tell us, as often thou didst tell Israel through the prophets, even before the captivity with Jeremiah, after the captivity with Ezekiel and others. And we pray, Father, that we might have thy blessed word, that we might know that it is a light on our path, both the Old Testament and this message to the churches, given at that later date, long after thy ascension again into heaven, that thou dost speak, Lord Jesus, from heaven to John and to us. And we pray that thou wilt now give us ears to hear and hearts to understand this word as it was given to the church at Philadelphia. But, Father, we pray that it may be for us as well, that we might be brought in the same way that they were brought. And though we do not know the detail of the particular way in which they were taught, the way they repented, the way they came to believe, but we know, Father, that all those instructions are in thy word, in both the preaching of the gospel and the application that is given by thy Spirit, opening hearts to receive it, convicting, leading into all truth, and taking the things of thine, Lord Jesus, and showing them to us. We pray for these eternal blessings first and give thanks for them. We also give thanks for the temporal blessings that we have in food and raiment and home, peace and shelter. We pray for those who do not have these blessings and are in suffering, hungry, homeless, fear, injury, sorrow. We pray, Father, also for those in sickness and injury, that thou would give healing to many, give them faith to look to thee for that blessing, and also faith to learn through these afflictions, faith to die for those that would be left in their illness till that hour. We pray for our homes, and especially the troubled and broken homes, the children in those homes. We pray for the schools. We pray for our leaders, both the present ones and those who aspire to be our leaders in the future, that we might have wisdom to elect those that are right, and that thou would give us those that are right through Christ. Amen. As we continue in this letter, last week we spoke about that name of Christ. The last part of the 8th verse stated, to them in that church at Philadelphia, thou hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. We closed with the thought that there was a name which is above every name. We closed also with the thought of the prayer that we might be made one under that name and in that name, and who it is that has that name. One especially that he could say, he openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. That is true in our initial salvation. He alone can open our heart. He alone can, through His Spirit, give us the new birth, the teaching of the Spirit. He alone does all these things. He is the author and finisher of our faith, as well as the object. All of that is in and from Christ. He was also given the name Jesus, because He shall save His people from their sins. He shall save His people. Not just try, but shall. Those that He gave His life for. As He said, I am the good shepherd, and I give my life for the sheep. They will all be brought by Him. He is the good shepherd that goes out in the wilderness and finds that which is lost. That's how I'm here today. Though I was in the church, I was lost. Like many Jews that He spoke to. And we can only be brought in by Him. Man can do strange things. The Lord Jesus said to some of the Jews, the leaders, He says, you compass land and sea to make one proselyte, but you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourself. That's what man can do if left to himself. But Christ can open and then bring in the sinner. And He can also shut and keep out Satan, that we will be kept. As He said, all the Father giveth me shall come. And He also said with it, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Many use those words as sinners coming. They're welcome, and it's true. But it can also be used as after we have come to Christ, we will not be cast out. We will be kept by Him forever. Yes, forever. We will be kept in this life and then eternally. That's what He said. No man shall pluck them out of my hand. I give unto them eternal life. That is the Scripture. That is His words. Like Peter, Christ said, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And he was kept. He denied, he sinned, but he went out and wept bitterly, and in the end brought back by Christ, who said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? We have all of this in Scripture as examples and teaching. And here, when we think of that name, it was true already in the Old Testament. Think of Psalm 8, where we read the beginning of the psalm and the end of the psalm. Psalm 8, verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. And then the last verse, the ninth verse of that eighth psalm, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. When that psalm was put to verse and music, we have the chorus given in that song, Lord, our Lord, in all the earth, how great thy name, thine the name of matchless worth, excellent in all the earth, how great thy name. That is a name that God warned us in His holy law, not to take in vain. And these here were commended because they had not denied His name. As we said in our last message, we can deny it not only like Peter did, saying, I know not the man, but we can deny it in silence. We can deny it by not doing what Christ has said. He said, go out and preach the message of repentance and remission of sins in my name. It is to be done, and it is to be done in His name. If it is not done, we're not honoring His name, and if it is not done in His name, then we're often doing it in our own name. And this is a sad case, and many times that's why so many people are called by the name of men. Churches are called by the name of men, rather than, as Paul said, and as we quoted in the beginning of the message, when he stated, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Yes, that name is to be exalted, and it will be. Paul said, we mentioned it last week, as he stated it, wrote it to the Philippians, that thou hast given him a name which is above every name, and at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. There has been a movement through the years, and especially it's taking effect in many nations today, that they want to bring in another name, another prophet, and saying that Jesus was a prophet of the past or that he was a lesser prophet. Not true. His name is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And it will prove itself to be so. For those that don't believe it today, and will not believe it in their life, they will learn it on the day of judgment when they stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has been given a name which is above every name. We often speak of three religions that we kind of liken together, and people want to say they are the same. Some of them do. Some of them only say it in some countries. In other countries, they say, well, only one is right. But in our country, some like to say there's three that are right. Not true. Only one that is Christian. The other two do not want to be Christian. Followers of Christ and followers of Him alone. Yes, they may liken a religion to Abraham. They may liken a religion somewhat to the giving of the law. And we can be thankful that when there are those who give reverence to God's law, but by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified, but by the law is the knowledge of sin. One alone through whom we can be justified, the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father justifies sinners by that name. It is a name to be believed, and it is a name to be kept and not denied. And don't deny it and say others are the same. Then you are denying the Lord Jesus Christ. You are denying the name of the only Savior. And not only a Savior, but Lord, King, Judge, one that's coming again on the clouds of glory. And all will be gathered before Him. All liars, as well as those who have believed the truth. And here's a church that has believed the truth. Here's a church that we ought to emulate and hope we can say of us today that there is a church like that, maybe scattered, maybe a little remnant of it in every nation. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. I have set before thee an open door. First of all, I believe it was given to the apostles on the day of resurrection, and before his ascension. Sometime later, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said they would be hated, but Christ opens the way. He sets before us an open door, describing and saying, preach the gospel to every creature. That's the open door that is before us. Our closest neighbors, our greatest enemies, all included. An open door. Christ said, no man can shut it. He also said, I think we mentioned it last week, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Through the years, many have been killed, murdered, burnt at the stake, drowned, killed in other ways, with a sword, shot, killed. But it is true, as you've probably heard as well as I have, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. It opens the door rather than closes it. Many, when they see a martyr dying at the stake, like even like John Calvin, when he was still in the false faith, he was glad to see the martyrs suffer. He called them heretics. He didn't like what they believed. It troubled him, but he also was himself troubled. He hated them, saw them killed, and then we read sometimes he went home and thought, though I'm glad they're gone, they have something I don't have. He realized it. Whether God used it or not to convict him and change him, we don't know the details. We don't have John Calvin's conversion like we do some others, like we do Martin Luther's. But we do read that part of it, and that he sturdily argued with his cousin, Alverton, but then went home smitten. And how many people are like that? They have a loud word, an argument against the truth, but in their hearts, they know better. I can remember a man in jail at one time told me I couldn't prove to him there was a God. I said, you can't prove to me that there's not a God, and you can't prove it to yourself. And the next week he said, that's right. I can't prove it even to myself that there's no God. How many people that say there's no God hoped that is true? I can remember myself hoping that there was neither heaven or hell, because I wasn't sure at the time of heaven and I didn't want to go to hell. All of that is part of God's open door, open into eternal life, open into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is to be preached. The kingdom of God is to be believed. The kingdom of God is to be entered into. The kingdom of God is to be seen when we have the new birth. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And when the new birth comes, that is the door opened. As Lydia, her heart was opened that she might give heed to all that Paul spake. Then we have not only the church itself have an open door before it. They have a little strength, and we talked about that last week. When I am weak, then am I strong, with the words of Paul. They did not deny his name. And then in verse 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. How much that has taken place, we don't know. But we know it does take place. We know it will take place before the end. All of this, Christ says, and the shells of Christ are sure. I will make them to come and worship before thy feet. He describes them plainly. They are the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews. Paul was one that was an example. He had all the criteria of being a Jew, a bona fide Jew. He said, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He was like the rest of the Pharisees, washing the outside of the cup, and like the rich young ruler that came to Christ, said, all these things have I done from my youth up. But that does not make one a Jew. Paul, also writing to the church at Rome, showed both what was a true Jew and what was not. In Romans chapter 2, we read in verse 28, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. Not. But then what is a true Jew? Verse 29 of that second chapter of Romans, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, and in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. There are many that could claim to be Jews in the bloodway, descendants. Even some might take the outward religion outwardly, have the form of it. But it is not inward. It is not, as we mentioned a few moments ago, the new birth, the change of heart. And not only did Christ say, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He also said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We enter it by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it is with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness. I was just listening to a song a few minutes ago that stated, I think, written by Horatius Bonar, not what my hands have done can save my guilty soul. That doesn't do it. What the Jews did in their fleshly ways, much religion, and as we read of Paul, If anybody had anything, he had more. But what did he say about it in the end? He said, I count it all but dung, waste, that I might win Christ. He said, those things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. If they don't bring us to Christ, they're not right. If we think we keep the law and are righteous before God, how deluded we are. But if we know by the law that we're sinners, and it's the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, what a blessing it is. And these people must have had that to be true Jews, to be truly taught inwardly, taught of the Lord, by the law and the gospel, both. And we need to preach both. We need the law to show that we're guilty. We need the gospel to be pardoned, to be forgiven. And as Christ said, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in my name, always in his name. There is none other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved than that name of Jesus. Jesus, who is also the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That must be learned, received, believed. Then we can be changed from being in the synagogue of Satan. And many were, and many, I fear, still are. Not only is it spoken here, the Lord Jesus spoke of some who were even described as hearing the gospel, hearing his word, believing on his name, and yet he said to them afterwards, that you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. Read it in John chapter 8, the latter part of that chapter. And that's what he says here. They say they are Jews and are not. Every one of us must come from hypocrisy, deceit, unbelief, all kinds of wrong ways, to Christ alone.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.